You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
For an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by The Book at Horseshoe Southern Indiana, where Kentuckiana bets sports. Number 5, U of L, they fall on the road to Georgia Tech last night, 64-58. It was a rough shooting night for the Cards, going just 33.9% from the field and 12.5% from behind the arc. Chris Mack post-game, though, saying that that rough performance was due in part due to Georgia Tech's solid analysis.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that I thought their game plan was excellent. They played us man-to-man the entire game, and we couldn't score. It hasn't been a huge problem for our team all year. I give tremendous credit to Coach Pastner and his staff and the players for doing what they did tonight.
Cards next in action against Clemson this Saturday. Number 9, U of L women. They head to number 4, NC State tonight. That game will tip at 8 p.m. and can be seen on the ACC network. Also tonight, IU hosting number 21, Iowa. They are 2-point favorites to the Hawkeyes. However, Archie Miller in his press conference yesterday saying that this is going to be no cakewalk.
They're smart. They really know how to play with one another. And they got an awareness about them. They got an edge about them. They don't take any BS out there. I mean, those guys are ready to play, compete. You can tell them that they believe in what they do.
That game tipping at 7 p.m. can be seen on the Big Ten Network. Wrapping up with some UK notes. KSR reporting that UK is willing to match the $1 million offer from Michigan State for tight ends coach and lead recruiter Vince Marrow. Also in the NBA, Devin Booker. He will replace Damian Lillard in the NBA All-Star Game. The SportsCenter update also brought to you by Big League Haircuts. Play hard, look good, Big League Haircuts. Perrin Johnson and myself take you down the stretch. The Take with Andy Sweeney at 3. This is SportsCenter.
It's Bob Valvano. Find us online anytime at ESPNLouisville.com.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome back to the V Show right here on ESPN 680-1057. It's not Bobby V. Pops a little under the weather tonight. Feel better, Pops. It's your boys Perrin Johnson and Nick Valvano taking you down the stretch. Going to talk a little college hoops, maybe touch on the IU game tonight, and as well as PJ, I want to get your thoughts on the Vince Marrow situation at UK. But before we do any of that, I want to remind everyone that ESPN Louisville has committed to braving the cold and getting freezing for a reason. I think I read that right. Freezing for a reason. There we go. To show our support for the over 10,200 Special Olympic athletes in Kentucky. That's right. ESPN Louisville, we're helping raise money for the chance to jump into the freezy, cold water depths for a great cause. All donations to our team will go to the Special Olympics Kentucky to provide year-round sports training and competition opportunities to children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Our goal is $3,000. We have confidence that we will go far, far past that. If you help us raise $3,000, Team ESPN Louisville will take the cold plunge. Jumpers include the VP himself, Drew Diener, the host of The Drive, Mark Ennis, the host of The Take, and the program director, Andy Sweeney, your boy Perrin Johnson, who's in the studio, your boy Nick Valvano, who's talking to you right now, Patty Ice himself, who will live up to that namesake, Ethan Moore, host of LSL and the Coors Light U of L basketball postgame show, the fabulous Phil Baker, co-host of the 7th-ranked Sunday morning Hangover sports talk show, and also you heard him just a second ago, Jason Entz, soccer extraordinaire and UK post-game host, and the lovely and talented sales extraordinaire Dawn Yates. We also might be able to sneak a few more in there. Our very own Lachlan McLean will be MC in the event. Sources tell me that people want to push him in the water. I offered my protection, but I can be bought back. to help with the pushing. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, find the link to donate on ESPNLouisville.com and on our social media pages, or just go to Louisville Polar Plunge, their website, and search Team ESPN Louisville. Please do that, just because we want to be able to monitor how much money we are, in fact, raising. It's not for any pride or anything like that.
What's my dollar amount that I have to jump in?
Yours, I believe, was, I think you were like $4,000. I think you were four, because you were.
I hope we get to 3,500.
Yeah, yeah. You were four. I think. It was initially you were the first one in the thousands, because I was like 750. Because Phil and I were a little bummed that we weren't in the four figure club, but you were. But we, I think we've gone away with that, and now it's just a team thing. We're all jumping in there. Sorry, buddy. But yeah, Polar Plunge. The jump date's February 22nd in the Middletown Texas Roadhouse. Want to start your own team? By all means, do that. And then you can go head-to-head with us. Go to WouvillePlunge.com. I don't know what I'm going to wear. I feel like this is like a party. Like, I don't know. Do you have an outfit? Like, I can't tell if we should go
just
for
putting
a
on
theme.
Swim trunks and a shirt. And then I'm drying off and putting on sweats. Something warm. I don't like being cold. I hate it with a passion.
For someone who played hockey his whole life, like, I really don't like it either, which is one of the major reasons I'm so happy
Cooper
Hassan's gone. I love Cooper, don't get me wrong, but he would have this play. I'd be freezing my ass off.
Yeah, but Cooper's a bigger guy, and then he would wear a Patagonia sweater.
But no pants!
Yeah, and then be like,
he'd be wearing shorts. I don't want to clarify.
I don't get that. But anyway, yeah. I mean, you see me. I'm built, genetically built for warm weather. You think I like cold weather?
Yeah, you are the perfect body for summer.
I am everything that summer is.
You are California. You're just basically the walking embodiment of California.
Every day, all day.
I mean, I got a little. Although it's disappearing thanks to our friends at Vitality, I got a little extra, blubber. I got the hair, the facial hair. I am kind of built for the cold, but yeah.
Texer says, Perrin, can you swim? Yes, I can swim.
So we do, right here on the V Show, just destroying stereotypes as Dad and I routinely eat pasta.
And the only reason, but I learned how to swim on accident. Like, I was at a neighbor's house and I got tangled up in a, that thing that cleans the pool?
The filter?
Yeah, well, no, not the filter, the little, people have filters where it's attached to a hose and it cleans the bottom of the pool.
Oh, wow.
And that thing got wrapped around my leg and I almost drowned because of that. So, I had to swim my tail off, and ever since that day, I said, that'll never happen again. So, but anyway, I was like 8 or 9.
Dang, I was doggy paddling until I actually learned how to swim in middle school. So, like that.
So we got a couple things I want to get to. Obviously, everybody's kind of mad about the game last night. 10-game winning streak. You can't win them all. You can't win forever. So I want to ask, as you look at the other schedules that other teams have, I think that Carolina. We really needed Carolina to win that game against Duke last weekend. And it's really going to come to us, that Florida State game at Florida State on the 24th. That game has so much more value than it did before when you look at it right now. Because right now, Louisville is a half a game ahead of Duke. And when you think about that and you talk about that, my biggest wonder is, and I want to know this from other people out there as well, who is your biggest worry when you look at the rest of the schedule? Is it Florida State or is it Duke? And I just really think it's Florida State, because I think Duke's going to give us one. And when you look at who they got next down the schedule, they play Notre Dame on the 15th. They play Notre Dame Saturday. NC State's been playing better basketball. They just beat Georgia. They just beat Syracuse. And so then you also got when Duke's schedule shakes out, they got a tough road too. But we've never won an ACC crown, and neither has Florida State. And Duke has won that before. But when you look at the scheduling, I think it really just comes down to the fact that we need to get this game against Florida State, because they obviously have to play NC State on the 22nd. So my biggest thing is, who you think is going to be our biggest problem, Nick? Do you think it would be Florida State or is Duke? For me, I just think it's Florida State. I think they're a better team. I think they're top to bottom. They can play with anybody. They have the athletes. They have a bench. Duke does not have a bench. I know they got the Carey kid, who's not a good free throw shooter. Cassius Winston's a great slasher, not a great shooter. And Trey Jones, who everybody's now calling Trey Stones after the Carolina game, Trey Jones has been playing lights out. He had 28 points. I think he had 5 rebounds and 6 assists. He's the first guy to have that in the North Carolina-Duke rivalry since a guy that you might know his name called Michael Jordan. So, and that was in 1983. How do we know that guy? But anyway, I just really think this team just – We were due for one of those bad games. In the ACC, we really haven't had a clunker game. I think Florida State just came in and beat the snot out of us and did what they were going to do. I think that I don't think that we've really had a clunker game. And every season, everybody has a clunker game. Duke's clunker game was when Duke had to go play Clemson at Clemson and they lost. So this was our clunker game. So now the question is, how are these guys going to respond when they play Clemson coming up this Saturday? I believe it is Clemson. Yes, Clemson on this Saturday at 4 o'clock. I'm looking for a great response right now. I mean, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on how you think these guys can bounce back?
Well, first off, and I want to make sure I'm clarifying this 1,000%. Last night's it was a terrible loss. It was an all-systems failure. Georgia Tech didn't even play that good, and they still managed to get the W against Louisville. Louisville just, I mean, terrible shooting, sloppy turnovers, just a whole lot of – we all know. So I'm not excusing – the loss in any way, shape, or form.
But, yeah.
I'm only saying that maybe here's something to maybe at least, you know, have a little silver lining to the cloud. I don't think Georgia Tech is really that awful a team.
Talent-wise,
I mean, the record says they're bad. They're just very, very thin. They have no one. They're playing with five people. I mean, Locke brought up the good point. I mean, they just wore down. They were giving Louisville all they could handle. When they were here at the Yum Center, and they just, I mean, they don't have the depth. That you get into foul trouble, you wear out, and, I mean, when you have a team that has the depth, something that we've celebrated all year, like Louisville, they got the job done at home because of that. But on the road, I mean, with everyone playing bad, no, it was a terrible loss, but I'm just saying that there's potential that that loss could become a quad one loss by the end of the year. Locke broke down the numbers and everything, but right now it's a quad two loss. They look terrible, but I feel like that is sort of like Louisville at their floor right now, and I'm not saying that by any stretch that that's good. I mean, a performance like that, that's how you don't make the second weekend in the tournament.
I think you're right about that. I think James Banks could play here.
100%.
I think Jose Alvarado could play here, and he does a hell of a job. I tell you what, if you want to go back and watch a game, go back and watch the first half. Jose Alvarado, we play pack line defense, as we all know here by now. Jose Alvarado got in the lane relentlessly in the first half.
Oh, almost on whim.
Like, it was relentless how he kept getting to the lane over and over again. And it was just amazing that nobody could really do anything about it. And I'm not going to get on Jordan about his shooting night, because I feel like, you know, everybody has bad shooting nights. Jordan's had a couple in some key games, so I know people are hard on him. But that's where we got to step up. If Jordan's not having a good game, you know, let's make sure we throw Steve in the ball. Maybe sure, you know, David did a great job of penetrating, getting in the lane and making plays at times and spurts. But we got to do a better job of recognizing if Georgia Tech's not going to allow Jordan to get to score a lot of points, how do we find other ways to get Jordan to be a more capable and a better basketball player? I mean, not outside of rebounding and whatnot, scoring the basketball. I feel like Jordan could have done a better job than he had in other aspects of his game, but that's going to happen. He's going to have bad shooting nights. If you remember in the year 2013, you remember we played Wichita State? You remember how Russ Smith didn't have the best game in the world?
That's how Tim Henderson got the nickname Wichita. Yes. He started taking the big shots later.
Yeah, so now you got to find when your guy's not having a good game, you have to find another way to get guys to score. And you know, I just feel like we got to find other guys to score. I don't, you know, Texas says, do you think Louisville shoots too many three-pointers? I do and I don't. I think it's one of those things where when you look at the game last night and how many we shot last night, obviously. I mean, we took a ton of threes last night, but I feel like last night we took a lot of those shots based on how we were playing down that stretch.
24 three-pointers last night.
Yeah, that's not bad for us. When you got Jordan War on the court, Jordan's going to take 15 shots, all right? And majority of his shots are going to be behind the three-point line, let's just be honest.
Right.
You know, then you got Ryan McMahon, he's going to take 4 or 5 a game. You know, Fresh Kimball's going to take some. Darius Perry's going to take some. And then also combined with two halves, Samuel Williamson. Dwayne Sutton's going to shoot some. 4-out-1-in type of motion, that's okay. I don't think we take too many threes. But I do think we need to be more considerate of throwing the ball into Stephen Enoch if he's in the paint. If a guy's posting up in the paint, you got to throw him the basketball.
Right.
If he's off the lane, I get that. That's okay. If he's not in the lane, fine. You just, you know, have him repost up, you know, seal his guy on the opposite side, swing the ball and rotate it around. But, you know, that's not going to be the case sometimes. I just think we got to do that, you know. Here's another one. We got another text. This is one college basketball conference, which all the teams in there have losing records. Three of those teams each have only won two games. It's the name is the MEAC. Well, I don't know what the MEAC has to do with ACC right now, but okay. So, I just think this. I think we're okay. I just think we got to make sure we handle our business, not only down the stretch in this game on Saturday, but February 24th is going to be the most important game for the sake of this team winning this ACC title. And I think that's something that speaks volumes for me right now, and I think it's something that we all know that we are capable of. But they can't keep doing – they can't disappear because nobody played good last night. Like, nobody played good last night.
Malik had stretches where he looked pretty strong. But then he I almost feel like
– He was the only guy that matched their energy that Georgia Tech was giving.
Right.
He was the guy that matched their intensity. I won't say that those guys weren't playing hard. I just think that the intensity that Georgia Tech from start to finish was better than us doing it in spurts toward the end of the game and then at other spurts at other points in the game.
And it was an ugly game. What there'd be no mistake about it, but I mean there were so many, I mean, just turnovers and them diving for them and balls going out of bounds and them keeping the play alive. I mean, I always like kind of hate the saying, and I think it's kind of lazy in a way for the take, well, they just wanted it more. Well, I feel like both teams wanted to win. That's stupid. But I feel like that's just like a way of saying that one team played cleaner. Or, I mean, just because they didn't have as many turnovers doesn't mean that they wanted to win more and the other team didn't. It just means that they committed less turnovers. But last night, when both teams were playing really sloppy, it did seem that they had that extra gear and they were playing with a little bit more effort. Yeah. I will say that. I think they got out-efforted last night.
And then the other thing was, we take a lot of quick shots sometimes because we have open three-pointers, we take them. No, nothing wrong with that. But Georgia Tech took us deep into the shot clock on a lot of possessions. And that's a lot of defending when you got to defend somebody for 30 seconds. You got to keep going, defending
them. Five guys.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's why they slow the game down because they know they can't get up and down.
Right.
When you watch Georgia Tech play Kentucky, if you have the ability to go back and watch that game, you got the ESPN app. Kentucky ran Georgia Tech and they eventually wore Georgia Tech down because they were running them because they don't have any depth. They slowed that game down. And when you're a Louisville fan for a team that averages 80-some-odd points a game and you have 20 points at halftime, that should have been the first cause for concern. Because I was in the play last night in Miss Saigon, and they tell you to put your cell phones out. So I would take my cell phone, put it in my sweater. I had the light turned all the way down, and then I would look at the score. And I'm over there like, damn it. And I'm over there popping Skittles like they're Tic Tac. And then the guy next to me is like, is everything okay? And by the way, behind me is the swim coach,
Albiero?
Albiero is sitting behind me. He goes, Perrin, if you're here, I know I'm in the right place. I said, yeah, I'm just too busy checking out the Louisville score right now. So at the intermission. But, yes, it was a frustrating game to watch because there's nothing more frustrating, and I know this from a fan's perspective, than watching your team play bad at every facet with the exception of Malik Williams, and then to a team that is an inferior opponent, and it just never changes the whole game. You know, the Kentucky game, they got down 12. They came back. So you wanted to believe they can come back in this game, but you just never saw it coming. And it was like we were a step slow the whole game and moving in quicksand. And I think that's something that we just needed to get that out of our system. 10 wins in a row, you willed that off. Now it's time to just see what happens and go from there. So somebody said, I can't read this one. This thing pops up really slow for some reason.
Yeah, 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Let's see here. Text coming down. Need to show fresh video of Reese Gaines and Siva taking it to the hoop and then tell him never to try that.
Well, I disagree with that. One, because Fresh can get in the lane. Two, Reese Gaines was a 6'6 point guard. Fresh ain't 6'6. So just go ahead, put that in your toolbox with that Reese Gaines video highlight. As far as Peyton Siva, Peyton was a great athlete. He had a 40-inch vertical. Fresh Kimball does not have a 40-inch vertical. He's not as explosive as Peyton. So those are two unfair comparisons to him. So I won't say that's necessarily something you want to say about him. I don't even think it's a thing where Fresh did something right or wrong. Nobody played good. I mean, Davis showed flashes, and Malik did a hell of a job with his effort. Outside of that, there's nobody that you really say that you were happy with how they played. I'm not happy with how anybody played.
Would you have the only thing, and I brought this up to, I think to Locke, or maybe it was Phil, I don't remember, but Jordan was having such a rough night, and that happens, and especially when you're, and not making excuses for him, but I mean, you have to be prepared for this as the preseason ACC player of the year. When you're the best player, I feel like guys are keying in on you for sure. But, well, I mean, Fresh kind of looked Jordan off there. I mean, wouldn't you want to put the ball in your best player's hands? Do you think that, like, the team was just kind of like, hey, look, Jordan doesn't have it tonight. I got to take it on myself. Like, I don't want to say that the team has lost faith in Jordan, because I certainly don't think that's the case, nor should they have. But I do kind of wonder if at that point, because it did seem kind of uncharacteristic of Fresh to try to attack the rim there. And I mean, you can't crucify a kid for one mistake. He gets tripped up by a phantom shoe. I mean, things happen. Like, I'm not saying, you know, that we should all be dogging Fresh, but that did seem a little uncharacteristic. I mean,
I think it's a couple things. I think the first thing is Jordan wasn't having the best shooting night. So if you're a point guard, do you make an adult decision on the fly and be like, ah, you're passing the ball because you haven't been making anything anyway all night? Number one. Number two, Jordan doesn't do the greatest job of trying to get open. If you watch Jordan, if he doesn't get the ball initially, he kind of shuts down.
Well, that was the major complaint that people were having with him during the UK game, where he was struggling offensively and he was invisible because he wasn't moving off the ball.
Don't take it the wrong way. Jordan's a phenomenal player.
Oh, absolutely.
He averages 19 points a game. He's like top 10 in ACC in five different categories. Like, he's phenomenal. But for a guy that's a shooter, he stands more than anybody I've ever seen as from a shooting standpoint, and he has the size to post up. I would love to see Jordan post up more, especially when he has smaller guys on him. And I would like to see Jordan not stand as much. And me and you have talked about this ad nauseum. You know, Rip Hamilton was 6'7". Reggie Miller was 6'6", 6'7". And those guys were shooters. I mean, Ray Allen, another guy that's a shooter. Kyle Korver, who's not even an athlete that Jordan is. He's a shooter. Those guys don't stand that much. So I don't understand. Like, sometimes I don't – and I know – and as a player, when you're a great player like Jordan is, you got to find other wrinkles within your offense to get shots. Like, you run 4-out-1 in motion. If Stephen Enoch's on the left block, go to the right elbow, go catch the ball face up and score. Space the floor out. You got to find other ways within your offense to score. So I wish he would do a better job of that instead of standing so much. And we don't do a good job of feeding guys the ball at times on angles to pass the ball. Your dad has talked about this ad nauseum too. Guys got to do a better job of passing the guys the ball in places where they want the ball so they can attack.
Right.
So we got to do a better job of that down the stretch, especially as these games get closer and tighter down the stretch and we go into conference. We're in conference play, but go to conference tournament. That's the next evolution of what these guys need to do. But I just think that Jordan needs to do a better job of not standing so much, because when he does that, he makes himself very easy to guard at times. So for a guy his size and how he shoots the ball, he should be a guy that should be definitely not shut down or take himself out of a game. So, but yeah,
I totally agree. Now what about Malik last night? I mean, is he? Because he seemed like, and Drew, I want to get your thoughts on this too, and I can play the soundbite. Drew and Mark were kind of mentioning the fact that, like, he had a higher NBA draft stock, or he had a high NBA draft stock. I mean, we've talked about it. I know we bantered around about it on the producers back when we used to do that show, that Malik, you know, kind of had the body of like a stretch four in the NBA, and he can shoot it. But it seemed like last night a little bit, like, he had that wide open three that I have no idea why, you know, there was no like help defense to come over. Like, he could have made a sandwich. He had so much time to shoot, and he made it as well. He should have. But then I feel like it was the Montrez effect a little bit, where he gets one and he started. He had a couple of shots that were just like, Malik, easy. Like, you can shoot. Don't get me wrong, but you kind of, I feel like Dwayne Sutton, in the sense, like, you're a good shooter when your feet are set and, you know, they can get you wide open and everything like that. He was shooting some contested threes and it was just like, don't do it.
You know why you shoot those shots?
Why?
Because you're trying to get hit down low. And Malik's not the biggest guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's not the biggest guy. He's not a physical imposing guy. Like, Steven's a physical imposing guy. He's big. He's 250. He's 240. He knows how to. That's why he's always in the lane, because he's such a physically imposing guy. But the one thing that Malik does, and this is what Coach Pitino used to say about Samardo. He said it about David. He said it about Terrence Jennings. And it's the same thing for Stephen Enoch. Stephen Enoch is a test tube rebounder. So when I say that, I mean this. When you think about a test tube, right? A test tube holds the liquid or whatever you put in it in that small confined space.
Right.
Right? So when I say that, I mean this. He doesn't rebound outside of his space. If the ball doesn't come to him in his area, he's not going to get it. Malik does a great job of not being a test tube rebounder. He's able to run down balls outside of his space, run down basketballs outside of his space. I know it's going to be on the mixtape. But he had 8 rebounds last night. Out of those 8, 6 of them were offensive. That's when you're offensive rebounding, you can grab 6 in 28 minutes. That means you're rebounding out of your space very well. So that's why you see guys that are like 6'10" and 6'11" when they only have 5 rebounds a game in 35 minutes. Those guys are test two rebounders. They don't rebound well outside of their space. But when you have a guy like Dwayne Sutton had 10 rebounds last night, 3 of them offensive, 7 of them defensive. Why? Because he's more mobile and he's able to rebound outside of his space.
And he is a beautifully gritty player.
Yes.
Love Wayne.
So, yes. Here's another question. Do you think there is any mental or physical fatigue setting in? No. And the reason why is the depth has come into play. With the emergence of David Johnson and Samuel Williamson been playing late down the stretch, you can look at the minutes. Jordan Warren last night played 24 minutes. Dwayne Sutton played 30 minutes. Stephen Enoch played 14. That's because Malik was playing his tail off last night. Fresh Kimball had 22, Darius Perry at 15. Malik Williams had 28, Samuel Williamson 23. Ryan McMahon played 20, and David Johnson played 24. That's called balance. And the reason why that is frustrating, and I bet just probably frustrating for a bunch of people out there, is the fact that when you're not playing the guys a ton of minutes, why do guys sit there on the court last night and look like they're tired or they're a step slow? And I just think that was just Georgia Tech just taking the intensity up a notch, and we didn't meet that intensity. And that's what that really boils down to. We didn't shoot the ball the greatest last night. We were 3 for 24 from three. I think that our 3-point shot is a staple of our offense. We shoot a very high percentage from the 3-point land, and none of those shots went in. So I don't think there's going to be too many nights that we're going to shoot the ball that bad. However, I know how everybody's thinking, and their thought process is, if we have a bad shooting night like that in the tournament, it's one and you're done. And nobody wants that to be the case, and I understand that completely. But when you look at this team, I just think that this is something that we just had to get this, you know, knock the dust off and, you know, reassess and reevaluate where we're at and where we need to be better at. And that's just what we need. We had 26 points at halftime.
That was
26 points.
We had like 7 at the, like, under 12 timeout. It was like, what?
Yeah, it was unbelievable to watch. That first half was like watching paint dry. You remember the Monday night game where Baylor played Texas and the score was 22-16? It was that bad. It was that bad. So,
Fan Outfitters Twitter feed: excellent insights by Johnson. So, a little bit of propage to you, my friend. We should probably take a break here.
Yeah, on the other side, go ahead and do that.
We'll replay the interview from Lucas Albeck of the Courier Journal. He was down in the ATL. He caught up with Lachlan McClain on the Midday Rush a little bit earlier today. ESPN 680 105.7. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano filling in for an under the weather Pops. Bob Valvano was down in Atlanta for the last night's game, and he's just got a little bit of the sniffles here, but it's not all sadness here at the ESPN Louisville studios, because it is a Wing Zone Thursday. We want to give thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. Try the ESPN Louisville special. That's 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39. We came up with that price because that's what our sister station, 93.9 The Bill, is. That is good for every day that ends in Y. That's 7 days a week. Wing Zone, they just launched Nashville Hot BBQ. It's Nashville Hot Chicken with a kick of Southern BBQ. Order online, wingzone.com. 2 Louisville locations in Hikes Point and Hess Lane near U of L. PJ, do you like the Nashville Hot? Are you a spicy guy, a sweet guy, a breaded guy? I mean, Wing Zone's got all the different flavors. All of them are tasty.
I like the buffalo sauce. I'm really mad at Wing Zone because I've tried to retire my stomach from buffalo sauce, and every time they bring those damn wings in here, I always have 3 or 4.
Every time you think you're out, they bring you back in.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, thanks to Adam and the guys at Wing Zone. Good stuff there. All right, other side of this break, it'll be Lucas Albeck, his interview with I almost said Perrin Johnson, with Lachlan McClain earlier today on the Midday Rush. It's PJ and Nick taking you down the stretch to The Take with Andy Sweeney coming up at 3. You're listening to ESPN 680 105.7. The heat is on in Saigon.
John, Chris, I got the hots for Yvonne. We should get drunk and get laid since the end is so near.
Oh, I tell you, buddy, I've had it. I don't want to hear. Get out of here. The heat is on in Saigon, but till they tell me I'm gone.
Welcome back to the V Show here on ESPN 680 1057. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano taking you down the stretch. The Take with Andy Sweeney coming up at 3 o'clock. Played that for you, PJ. A little Miss Saigon rejoin there. How's that?
It takes me back to last night. It was good stuff.
Yeah, how was that? I don't know anything about that musical. I do like me some musicals. Been lucky enough to see about 12 shows on Broadway and about 3 or 4 off.
I want to tell you about it, but I don't want to ruin it because I'm sure there might be some people listening going to see it. So our own Patty Ice is going to go see it.
Oh, there we go. Look at us getting cultured here.
Yeah, it's around the Vietnam War when it takes place, and then you can go from there with that. So. Leave it at that.
All right. Well, it certainly wasn't parallel to the horrors that are war, but last night was a rough showing down in Atlanta. And Lucas Allback of the Courier-Journal was down there covering it. He caught up with Lachlan McLean earlier today on the Midday Rush. And this is going to take us right up to the top of the hour. So on the other side of this, you will hear the sultry dulcet tones of a one Andrew Sweeney and the mouth of the South, Big Easy Zach McCrite. So this was Allback on earlier with our very own Lachlan McLean.
To help us break things down, we get the beat writer for the Louisville Courier-Journal, courier-journal.com. The beat writer for the Cards is Lucas Allback, and always nice enough to give us a minute or two. Lucas, how are you?
It's good to be back, man. Thanks for having me on. Are the riots in the streets still happening in Louisville?
You know what?
Is everything safe back there?
It is okay. It's the rioting because this weather just sucks so much, and this rain will just dreary, gray, cold nonsense. But
maybe that's actually good news.
Yeah, right? Yeah, as if folks weren't depressed enough. But I started the show, Lucas, and I said, you know, there are people who are going to try and excuse away this loss and say, hey, Georgia Tech is trending upward, and they may be better than you think, and they've got talent and everything else. And then they're people are saying that's just an inexcusable, horrific, what are you doing, change everything, change the starting lineup, change the uniforms, change the school colors, whatever. Where on the spectrum do you think people should be in terms of trying to put that loss in perspective?
Okay, so Georgia Tech has lost some games that were pretty close. You know, they were right there against Duke for most of that game. They're right there against Louisville a couple weeks ago, all these couple other ACC games. They've been in some games, so they're not some, like, you know, bottom-of-the-barrel team. They're not a top-tier ACC team, but they're not terrible. But what you said a couple minutes ago was right. I mean, last night, you can't look at that team and say that that's a Final Four team. They play like that, they're not going to get out of the first weekend of the tournament. You know, that was not good. So, I mean, I'm at about a DEFCON-level yellow right now. I'm a little concerned after that one. Louisville, they felt like they were almost due for a loss like this. You know, it's like they've been in some of these close games where they've just, like, barely pushed through at the end. Or, you know, Sutton or somebody has made a play right there at the end. David Johnson's taken over late and has just been able to push them through. But it always felt like one of these was coming. And it finally happened. So I don't really know. It's a surprising loss, but I don't really know that we should be shocked because it's one that has probably been coming for a little while. So, I mean, you're concerned, you're certainly concerned about that 2 points from Wara and the 18 points out of the starters, but you know, Louisville was almost due for one of these. So I would tentatively put those pitchforks down, but don't lose them. Don't lose them.
No,
hang on to them.
I liked what you said. If they play like that, they are a team that could absolutely lose in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and I guess that would be the fear factor for the Cards, because who knew if they were going to make the Final Four or not? I don't know, but they were the type of team you felt very comfortable, like at least you're going to be in the Sweet 16 before you start having to sweat, and when you see that they are capable of that, it means you may not have to sweat your first round, 2-15 matchup or 3-14, but you're going to be sweating every game from that point forward. It kind of added another game of nervousness to me to the NCAA tournament for Louisville fans would be the best kind of summation of it. Now, obviously, if they follow up with another clunker at Clemson, then you really do get very concerned because there's this kind of underlying issue, Lucas, of Chris Mack's postseason record is not exactly scintillating. So, but that's those are topics for another time. But Mack said after the game, Lucas, he may have to look at changing the starting lineups to get off to faster starts. Certainly the topic du jour around here in Louisville radio has been David Johnson needs to move into the starting lineup. I may be the only radio host in the market saying no, he doesn't. But where do you weigh in? Does Chris Mack need to change his starters here with like 10 games left in the season?
So if you move David Johnson into the starting lineup, I guess the idea is to put Fresh on the bench. But and I guess I see it, but Mack is like that lineup with Fresh and David out there together. I don't know that he starts both of them at the same time, but like those guys played the most minutes of both any of the guards last night. Those guys were on the court for a lot of time and a lot of time together. So I think he's starting to get more comfortable with them playing together. Honestly, if I'm the coach, and you know I'm not, I'm you know sitting here all the time about to drive back after covering the game, but if I'm the coach, the one that I might look at is moving Malik in the starting lineup. You know, Enoch has not really had the impact that you would like to see there. But last night, I mean, that was one of his most disappointing performances of the season, if you ask me. And Malik was really the reason Louisville was still in this game. I mean, he was pulling down every single offensive rebound late. He was the Louisville's offense basically ran through him, getting an offensive rebound and putting it back at times, it felt like. He's the one who's really bringing the energy, in my opinion. He's the one who's really setting the tone out there when he's on the court. He's the one. I know people are all on David Johnson, and David Johnson needs to play 20-plus minutes, I think. But if you're moving anyone in the starting lineup, I would think of moving Malik in there. And, again, I'm not the coach. And all these guys are going to play significant minutes anyways. So the starting lineup, I don't think you've got to be concerned about the minutes there. I think it's a concern about setting the tone for the first 5 minutes that you went out of your starting lineup. And, you know, if you're giving up 12 points in the first 3 minutes of the game, who better to stop that than one of the better defensive centers in the country, in my opinion, in Malik Williams. So that's the one that I would be looking at.
Lucas,
David
all
Johnson,
back.
You know, David.
Sorry, Lucas. Yeah, you give me those pauses, and I forget that you're not done talking. I was just going to reintro
no,
here. Lucas Allback from the Courier Journal at Lucas Allback on Twitter at the Courier-Journal.com is how you read their coverage of U of L. I thought that was interesting because I want to go back to Malik potentially into the starting lineup, but you will hear it when you get back here. I mean, people are just they love David Johnson. They just absolutely love him. But as you said,
I'm
if he starts Johnson and Kimball, then Johnson's your point guard. He's basically playing Kimball as a two guard who's 6 feet tall, if we're being generous. I just don't know. I understand he's played that lineup a lot, but if the idea is to get off to a hotter start, playing a 6 foot nothing guy as your two guard, that seems like a weird decision to make.
Yeah, I see that. But, you know, are you going to move? Darius hasn't quite been a scoring threat for most of the year. He had those couple games where he had 15 and 19. But, I mean, has he really been lighting up the scoreboard lately? Are you going to move Ryan McMahon back in the starting lineup? Like, it's all these guards do something good different. Like, all these guys have strengths. You know, Darius is the defensive guy. Ryan's the shooter. David is the playmaker. And, you know, Fresh is the veteran. But, like, That's a tough combination to put together out there. It's tough. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's been rolling with David a little more, but David was turning the ball over last night, too. People want to anoint David pretty quickly, but David was not at his best all night last night. He had some pretty critical turnovers. Of course, he wasn't the only one. We saw that last possession, but it's tough, man. It's like none of those guys had the game you want to see. I don't know who you put in the starting lineup who is, like, you know, the answer.
Yeah, I guess my response would be, I agree Perry has not been the most, you know, gifted scorer in meals, but if the whole idea is to get off to hotter starts, the one thing Darius Perry has done, you have demonstrated evidence, is he has started some games by draining threes and giving you
Absolutely.
Some offensive pop off the jump. So if the idea is you
that
need
was
to
really the, yeah. That was the first red flag last night is when he came out and missed that first pull-up. Because,
yep.
You know, you get so used to watching him knock those down that it's like, whoa, he actually missed one to start the game.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So I think people need to be very clear about why they would want to change the starting lineup. They just want more minutes for David Johnson? Okay, I understand that. It's certainly understandable. But if Mac's thing was like, no, we need to change it to get off to faster starts, I'm not sure putting David Johnson in there is going to fix that issue. And yeah, you were obviously, you're down in Atlanta. You can't hear my show earlier. I'm the reason I'm against David Johnson as your starting point guard is his assist to turnover ratio is not good enough to be a starting point guard, and he's not a great shooter, and he's not a great free throw shooter. He has incredible skill set to do certain things, but you're talking about taking on the 30 minute a game, which is what people are now advocating, 30 minutes a game as your lead point guard. The numbers don't necessarily bear that out. He's like a guy who passes the eye test but not the metrics test.
I would agree with that. You know, he makes those highlight passes and he makes some great plays, and you know, there's times where he turns into the offense where it's just, how can we get David Johnson straight to the rack? But the turnovers, man, that's what concerns me. He had a couple last night where he was just fumbling with the ball right under the basket, and it's like, that's leaving points on the table. So 16 points, that looks great on the stat sheet, but I didn't think he had his best night of the year by any means. I mean, I didn't think he brought his A game for a good portion of the night. A lot of that was just him trying to put the team on his back late because nobody else was scoring.
I should mention, though, he did have the highest plus-minus on the team. They outscored Georgia Tech by 8 when he was on the floor. So
I do give him
credit for that. Last one for you, Lucas. I mean, concerns about Jordan Wara. Is that that was a miserable game, obviously. 2 points goes without saying. He no-showed. But, I mean, Mac not being able to play him, basically, in the last 5 minutes or not trusting him, I guess, would be one way to say it. And is that just a matchup thing that Georgia Tech knows how to guard him? I thought it was an interesting quote. I'm trying to find it here from Mac about Wara, and they basically questioned his toughness.
Mac was not having it with Jordan Wara after that game last night. He didn't want to say a ton about it, but he was not, I mean, as you would expect, he was not thrilled at all. But, you know, he didn't come out and just say he had an off night or anything like that. He came out and said, you know, Georgia Tech put some 5'11", six foot guy on him, and Jordan just got out tough. Couldn't, you know, figure out how to be tough enough to get him off him and score in the post. So that's concerning, man. That's really concerning.
That was the soundbite I was going to reference. I mean, what do you do for, say, we're two-thirds of the way through the season, and Chris Mack can come out and say, Jordan can't figure out how to be tough enough to hold off a six-foot guy and lay the ball in. I mean, that's a pretty damning quote, is it not?
That set off every single alarm bell in my head when I heard that one, because I was expecting him to come out and just let Jordan off a little bit and tell him, hey, you know, wasn't his night. But no, he was not thrilled with that one. So we'll see if Jordan take that one to, you know, if that one hits home with him in the next game, something like that, because this team, you don't need me to tell you they're not going to win games if Jordan's only scoring 2 points. Huh. This team is built around him being the offense or being the focal point of the offense. David Johnson breaking out has taken a little bit of pressure off him, but you still need Jordan giving you 16, 17 points a game.
Yeah, and I guess that's the one bright lining, I will, if he only had 2 points and Louisville was still had the ball down 2 at the end of regulation with a chance to force overtime, I guess you try and, if you're a Louisville fan, try and take some positives. I mean, it's not 100% negative, but clearly it's much more negative than positive for now for the Louisville basketball team, and
yeah,
that's the way it should be.
And if one or two more of those threes fall down, we're not having this conversation, or this conversation is very different. So,
right.
You know,
well, I would still be crushing them, Lucas, because I'm, you know,
hey, well, you're fair and balanced. I expect that from you. I appreciate that.
There you go. All right, look, safe travels back to Louisville. You can read Lucas's stuff at courier-journal.com. Follow him on Twitter at Lucas Albach. All kinds of good subscriber exclusives, and support the newspaper industry. They make us all better when we have more media out there. So, Lucas, appreciate the time, and good analysis there, the Malik into the starting lineup. We'll keep an eye on that one as a potential change of pace there for the Cards as they visit Clemson on Sunday. Now, you're not going straight to Clemson. Are you driving home? You're driving from Atlanta to Clemson.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting out the Clemson game, so I'll have the same seat everyone else will have on Saturday, but I will still be bringing the hot takes, so don't worry about it.
There you go. All right.
And I always appreciate you having me on, Locke. Thanks again.
You have a good one. There you go. Lucas Albach from the CJ.
Find us online anytime at
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers
and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.